Well, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service here today. I want you to know that you're not forgotten. All of us here at Liberty Baptist Church continue to pray for you. We ask the Lord that he keeps you safe, that he gives you strength and health and encourages you. And I want to remind you again to encourage each other in the Lord. Today we're going to take a look at the two thieves that were hanging on a cross next to Jesus. And we're going to see what we can learn about them. So before we begin, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the service. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to open up your word and learn a few things, maybe have our brains challenged a little bit, our hearts pricked a little bit, Father, and just ask that you do the work that only you can do in the lives of the people that are watching this. And Father, I thank you for these dear folks that are shut into these facilities and just ask that you encourage them. Father, I ask that you minister to their hearts. And I also ask, Father, that you just give me the words to say that will be a blessing to these folks. Have your will and way in this service, and I'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 23. We're going to read verses 32 through 43. So starting in verse 32, it says, "And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So we have Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and we have a couple malefactors on each side of him. And I want you to know something, that these two men represent all of mankind. The one on the right and the one on the left represent every one of us. And the question I'm going to ask you here today is, which side of the cross are you on? Because one of these men accepted Christ. In verse, that last verse right here, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That man is in heaven today. The other one, he had the Savior right there next to him. The only purpose Christ was on that cross, the only reason he was there was for that man that died and went to hell, and for me and for you. That's why he was on that cross, and the Savior was right next to that man, and he still went to hell. Those two men represent all of us. Which side of the cross are you on? Like all of us, those two men were sinners, right? They were on the cross because they broke the law. They were sinners. But like I said, they represent all of us because we're all sinners. Let's go to Romans 5:12. We're all sinners, just like those two thieves that were on the cross. Romans 5:12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:20, for all have sinned, there it is again, and come short of the glory of God. The one malefactor He knew that, because if I go back to Luke chapter 23, see, he finally realized that. And we can't be saved until we realize that. Luke chapter 23. I got to get to 23 first. Luke chapter 23, and he says right here in verse 41, he says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. For this man hath done nothing amiss." You see, he recognized at that point that he was getting what he deserved. He realized he was a sinner, and he was hanging on that cross, and he deserved to be there. It's just like every one of us. It's just like every one of us. These two men had broken man's law, but they had a far more serious problem than that. And all of us, when we break man's law, we still have a far more serious problem. They are sinners about to face God in judgment. They are sinners about to face God in judgment. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. That thief on the cross finally realized that in his last hour. He realized that. That he was getting what he deserved. That he was a sinner. He was getting what he deserved. And he was about ready to face God. He was about ready to face God. Romans 3:10 says right here, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And if we go down to verse 12, it says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." No, not one. When a person physically dies, it's judgment time. Those two thieves on the cross, judgment was imminent. It was right there. It was just about to happen. Just about to happen. We go to Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27, and it says here, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." After this, the judgment. If we all got what we deserved, we would be in hell right now being punished for our sins for eternity. And I got to tell you, the one thief who never looked to Christ for salvation, he's being punished today for his sins. Everyone in time past that have died without Christ, they're in hell right now being punished for their sins, because we've broken God's law. We've broken God's law. People don't like to talk about it. They don't like to hear about it. But I'm telling you, just like these two thieves that were on the cross, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. If we all got what we deserved, we'd be in hell right now. Let's go to Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. All of us, all mankind, those two thieves represent all of us. Revelation 21:8. It says right here, "But the fearful and unbelieving," that thief was unbelieving, "and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters." Oh, and get this part right here. "And all liars." You know, a lot of times we think only the really bad people have to be punished for their sins in hell. It says right here, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Which, you know, one of those thieves experienced the second death. One did not. One did not. Let's take a look at Matthew 25:46. Matthew 25:46. Matthew 25:46 says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." That's exactly what happened to those two thieves. One went to everlasting punishment. He's still there today. And one went into life eternal. And he's still there today. Let's back up to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That's where that one thief is today, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you die today without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is where you're going. And it don't have to be that way. That's why Jesus was on that cross right in between those two malefactors. That's why he was there. So we don't have to go to hell. It was that one thief was right there next to him. He could have reached out and almost touched him. Obviously, he was nailed to the cross, but I'm talking figuratively. They were that close. He was that close to the Savior, and he missed it. He missed it. But isn't it the same way every time we hear the gospel and we turn our back to it? It's the same way. Salvation is right there, but yet so many people miss it. Death always comes as a surprise, doesn't it? It always comes as a surprise. It is always sudden. People are never ready. People are never ready. James 4:14. James, death always comes as a surprise. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We all know what a vapor is. You see it just briefly, and then it's gone. You don't see it anymore. Well, that's what our life is. Well, because we're talking about eternity here. Everlasting eternity, whether it be in hell or heaven. So the amount of time we spend here on earth is a vapor. That's what God's trying to tell us in his word. Your life's going to go by like that. And the only thing that matters is eternity. You know, I have a water leak in my basement, bathroom in the basement. But you know what? One of these days, I'm never going to think about that again. Well, if you compare what little aggravation that is to my eternity in heaven, I don't care about that water leak. I don't care about it because it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters to me and the only thing that should matter to you is where we're going to spend our eternity. Same way with those two malefactors on the cross. The only thing that should have mattered to them at that moment is where they're going to spend their eternity. And that's the only thing that should matter. How about Job 7:7? Let's go take a look and see what Job had to say here. Job chapter 7, verse 7. He says right here, oh, remember that my life is wind. Wind and vapor, almost the same thing. Oh, remember that my life is wind. My eye shall no more see good. He's saying, just like the wind, wind just goes on by, then it's forgotten about. And that's the same way our lives are, people. It's the same way our lives are. These two thieves found out, and they know today, that the only thing that really mattered was eternity. They know that for sure today. Everybody that's in heaven or hell today, they will all tell you if they could. The only thing that matters is where you spend your eternity. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. I want, right there in book of Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, there's two other men here that found out nothing else mattered but eternity. Luke 16, 19, we'll start there. Luke 16, 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Boy, he lived a good life. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. He didn't live such a good life. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, just like it will with us, that the beggar died, excuse me, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, we're talking about the rich man here. And he wasn't in hell because he was rich. Let's make that clear. And in hell, as soon as he died, he's in hell. And he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, we'll read a little bit more, but I'll stop right there. These two men are just like those two malefactors. Okay? One went to heaven and one went to hell. It has nothing to do with how much money they had here, because Lazarus was a beggar. The rich man, he lived very well. But that had nothing to do with their eternity. Okay? Those two thieves on the cross, we don't really know that much about them in the Bible, in Scripture. I don't even know what their crime was, to be honest with you. I call them thieves, but I don't know if they were thieves. Maybe they were murderers. I have no idea what they did. They were malefactors, and they were sentenced to die. I do know that much. And one went to heaven, and one went to hell. Now, if we read the next verse, and it says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." One of those malefactors is comforted today, and the other one's still being tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Why did he want Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house? Well, let's take a look. "For I have five brothers." Oh, he has five brothers. Now he's concerned about his brothers. You see, because he knows for a certainty, you die without Christ, you're going to hell. He knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I wonder if the thief, the malefactor that was hanging on the cross, that died and went to hell, as soon as he got there, I wonder if he was thinking about his family members. I wonder if he thought about them. I'd imagine he did. I'd imagine everyone that ends up in hell, being in torments, don't want their family members there. I would think every person that's ever been there thinking that same thing. So anyway, right there in the book of Luke, you have two men just like those two malefactors. One went to hell, one goes to heaven. Where are you going? Where are you going to spend your eternity? Remember, death comes suddenly. I expect to be living tomorrow, but I don't know. Maybe I won't even make it till tomorrow. I really don't know. Only the Lord does. Same way with you. It's the same way with you. Lord willing, you'll be here tomorrow, but we don't know that for sure. Your life is a vapor. It's just a vapor. The moment each of us die, it will not matter if we were rich or a poor beggar. It won't matter at all. It will not matter if you drove a Lexus or had to take the bus. It will not matter. The very moment we die, it won't matter. It will not matter if you lived in a nice house or in a cardboard box. Makes no difference. Don't matter if you live in a house where the water doesn't leak, or you live in a house where it does leak. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference. It will not matter if you graduated from college or dropped out of high school. It won't matter. It matters to people as we go through our life for whatever reason. It won't matter for eternity. It will not matter if you were a great athlete or an invalid in a wheelchair. It will not matter, folks. What matters is where you're spending eternity. That's what matters. You're talking about eternity where time never ends. Compared to what, 80, 90, 100 years we live here or less? It's a drop in the bucket. But we make it out to be our whole lives. We make it out to be, this is it right here. This is as good as it gets. So I'm here to tell you, it gets a whole lot better than this. A whole lot better. Or it gets a whole lot worse. I've heard people say they're going to be in hell playing cards with their buddies. No, there won't be no card playing. You won't even be able to see your buddies because you're cast into outer darkness. I was in a coal mining shaft one time. We were down below the ground. We all had lights. Well, the tour guide, he said, shut the lights off. I shut the lights off. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I thought about that verse about outer darkness. That's what it's going to be like in hell. You won't even be able to see anybody. You know, when something is that dark, it's scary. It is scary. At least it is to me. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. That's the way it's going to be in hell. But that's going to be the good part of hell. You're going to be in torments. You know, remember the rich man. He just wanted Lazarus to dip his finger in water and just put a drop on his tongue. That's the same way for all of us. When death comes to you as it did for these two men, nothing else will matter but eternity. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:7. 1 Timothy 6:7. If we could just get a hold of that fact that nothing else matters but eternity. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." That's why nothing else matters. All the goods we try to accumulate while we're here, all the greediness that's bound within us in this old sinful flesh, we're leaving it all behind. You think of the nicest house you've ever seen. It's going to belong to somebody else someday. All my possessions that I have, they'll belong to somebody else someday. Someday. We brought nothing into this world. We're going to take nothing out. That rich man and Lazarus, they took nothing with them. Those two malefactors on the cross, they took nothing with them. But yet we spend our time trying to accumulate all kinds of stuff, trying to outdo the next guy, when we should be telling the next guy there's a heaven and a hell. And where are you going to spend your eternity? Genesis 3:19. Let's take a look at that. Genesis 3:19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." When these bodies die, they're going right back into the ground. But our soul is going to heaven or hell. Where's yours going? And you're thinking, if you're not saved and you're watching this, you're probably thinking, I've got time. Life goes by like that, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We are not. We all know people who have died young and in accidents, and they weren't expecting to die. They weren't expecting to die, but they did. And there's no more opportunities after. Just like that rich man and that malefactor on the cross that went to hell, there was not another opportunity. People, you don't get a second chance because God's given us all these years, all these opportunities, all these chances to accept Christ. Ask for forgiveness and accept that free gift of salvation. That's why Christ was on the cross. That is why. What foolishness it is to be concerned with the cares of this world. Those two thieves on the cross, at the time they were on the cross, they weren't concerned anymore with the cares of this world. The rich man and Lazarus, they're not concerned today about the cares of this world. The rich man just wants a drop of water put on his tongue. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Mark 4:18 says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word." And the cares of this world, that's what we're talking about here. "And the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it become unfruitful." Just like if you're hearing this message today, are you concerned with the message? Are you concerned with heaven and hell, eternity, or are you concerned about the cares of this world? The cares of this world, if you turn your attention to that, it's going to overrule the Word of God. It will overrule it, and tomorrow you'll still be concerned about the cares of this world. How about Mark 8:36? Oh, how silly we are, and I've fallen into the trap before too, of being concerned with the cares of this world. You know what we should care about? The Lord Jesus Christ and each other. The Lord Jesus Christ and each other. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What did it profit that rich man who lived a good life? Yes, he lived a good life, but he lost his soul. What did it gain him? What did it profit him? Not a thing. I guarantee you today, he's not thinking about the good life he lived. Not even a little bit, because he realizes it doesn't mean anything. You know what he's caring about? Just what we read. He didn't want his brothers to come there. He didn't want his brothers to have any part of hell. We go through our life not even thinking about it, though. Second thing is, Jesus is their only hope. Jesus is the only hope any of us have for eternity in heaven. He is the only hope. Any good works we can do, not going to get us there. If good works, whatever we did that might have pleased God with our works, Jesus would have never had to been on that cross. But Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins. So there's no work we can add to that. Jesus said, "It is finished." It's finished. He didn't say it's finished as long as you all do good and do some good works. He said it is finished. Let's look at John 19:18. John 19:18. It says right here, "Where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." And Jesus is right in the midst of us today. Anybody that wants to accept him as Savior, he will save you. Just like those two thieves on the cross, salvation was offered to both of them. One chose it, one didn't. It's the same way with all of us. Jesus there on the cross means that atonement has been made for your sins and my sins. Because Jesus was on that cross, atonement was made for us. Their only hope is the one hanging on the cross beside them. Those two malefactors, their only hope was Jesus hanging on the cross. And the only reason Jesus was on the cross was because we're sinners. It's the only reason he was there. And he was there to atone for our sins. Let's look at 1 John 2:2. That's the purpose of Jesus going to the cross, is because we're sinners. 1 John 2:2. And it says right here, "And he," we're talking about Jesus Christ here, "and he is the propitiation," atoning sacrifice. "He is the propitiation for our sins." That'd be your sins and mine. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins and everybody that was ever born or will be born. It's only through Jesus Christ. Only through him. What a substitute Jesus is. Dying in the sinner's place, dying in our place. And I'm saying he died in our place, but we didn't read how he was tortured before he went to the cross. And he did that for us. He did that for us to pay for the sinner's debt. Let's go to Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And it says right here, All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Remember, we're all sinners. It says right here, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," That'd be Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. The only hope for those two men is that they look to Christ by faith, that he paid for their sins, and ask for forgiveness for those sins, and to trust Christ by faith that he paid for them on that cross, and then ask Jesus to save you. That's all it is. Do you believe that Jesus was on that cross to pay for your sins? That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. One thief did, one didn't. One thief did, and one didn't. Jesus didn't turn his back on the thief who wanted to be saved. He didn't turn his back. You got to remember, he was tortured, he was beaten, he was nailed to the cross. I would have been in excruciating pain. Jesus was thinking of us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For they know not what they do. And he didn't turn his back on the malefactor who wanted him. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39. We'll read that again. Luke 23, 39. And it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus doesn't turn his back on anybody. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, 20. It says right here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is standing right there at the door knocking. And he says, you open that door, he will come in. He will do that. That thief opened the door for Christ. Jesus came in. The other thief wouldn't open the door. He wouldn't open the door. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. John 3, 16 and 17. It says right here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's why Christ was on the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That one malefactor believed at the last minute. And he didn't perish, but have everlasting life. In verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he was on the cross, so every one of us could receive salvation. That's why he was on the cross. So many people die without Jesus Christ, when the price has already been paid. It's already been paid. Jesus is able to save all those who come to him in faith. He is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Hebrews 7, 25. And it says right here, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means completely. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And the third thing I want to bring out, and then we'll be done, is one rejects Jesus, the other accepts him. Both of those men are equally guilty. It doesn't make one better than the other. It doesn't make me better than you. It doesn't make you better than the next person. We're all guilty sinners. The only difference between those two is one accepted Christ. The other one didn't. Both of those men were condemned as they were hanging there on the cross. Just like before I accepted Jesus Christ, I was condemned. I was found guilty, condemned. Let's look at John 3:18. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him, that's Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Before you accept Christ as your Savior, you're condemned to hell. After you accept Christ as your Savior, you're not condemned anymore. Not because of anything you or I have done, but because of Jesus Christ. We're condemned until we accept Christ. Let's notice with me Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. We're condemned, and Jesus is saying, forgive them. We're condemned. You see the love that Christ has for us? You can see it if you believe he was on the cross for us. Why else would he be up there? Because he loves us. You know the sad part is? Everyone, well, let's just take the malefactor on the cross that did not accept Jesus Christ. Jesus was up there for him too. And everyone that dies and goes to hell, Jesus was up there for him or her. And they just failed to accept that free gift of salvation. They both heard Jesus say that right there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Both them men heard that. Both of these thieves physically died that day. One went to everlasting punishment. One went to everlasting life. The moment the one thief accepted Christ as his Savior, all his sins were just washed away. They were all washed away. And it's the same way with you. You accept Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden your sins are washed away and forgotten about. Washed away and forgotten about. Isaiah 1:18. Let's look at that. A couple more verses, we'll be done. Isaiah 1:18. Excuse me. It says here in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's what happens the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. Because he was on that cross. Because he was on the cross. Let's look at Psalms 103:12. Psalms 103:12. Turn the page. It says here, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what happens as soon as you accept Christ. There's no questions asked, no forms to fill out. That's why he was on the cross. That one malefactor, his sins were completely washed away and forgotten about. The other one, he wanted to hang on to his sins, and he's being punished today for it. And it's just senseless. The moment you ask Jesus to save you, your sins will be forgiven and you will be washed clean by the blood of Christ. One more verse. Let's go to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's why he was on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's why he was there. What side of the cross are you on today? At this moment right now, what side of the cross are you on? The one that leads down to everlasting punishment in hell, or the one that leads to life everlasting in heaven? I know I said that was the last verse. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never accepted him, today could be the day of your salvation. Just like that one malefactor, that was his day of salvation. It could be your day of salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith in the fact that Jesus Christ was on that cross and paid for our sins. And that not of yourselves. You see, there's nothing you can do. It is the gift of God. Salvation is just a gift to each one of us that want to receive that gift. Verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right there again, it tells you, there's nothing you can do to work for it. Nothing you can do to work for it. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is see yourself as a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And then if you believe Jesus Christ was on that cross and paid for those sins, ask Him to save you. And He will. Your sins will be completely forgotten about, washed away, a clean slate, and your eternity will be in heaven. He's able to save you to the uttermost.